Now look there at verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood by there, when they heard that, they said, this man calleth for Elijah. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is the fourth saying of our Lord Jesus from the cross. The first word we saw was the word of forgiveness. Father, forgive them. They're ignorant of what they've done. They're ignorant of, they crucified the Lord of glory. They're ignorant of how great I am and how great the enormity of their sin was. So forgive them. Then the second word was the word of salvation. When Christ prays for forgiveness, who he prays for forgiveness for, they're going to be saved. And he told that thief on the side of him, by the side of him, today you'll be with me in paradise. Saved a man right at his dying hour. Then, you know, the third word was the word of love, the word of affection. We loved his mother, showed that he loved his mother, committed her to somebody else, gave her to somebody to love her and care for her and take care of her. In fact, it was that disciple whom Jesus loved. Every time you hear John mention, it's that disciple whom Jesus loved. I pray that he says that about me. I'm one of those disciples that he loves. I hope I'm one of them. And here we have a word of desertion. Word of desertion. Our Lord Jesus Christ is deserted. He's forsaken. He's left alone. His disciples forsook him. Friends forsook him. He's left all alone. Without God to help him. Or even look his way. And show him any kindness whatsoever. God himself didn't do that. Our Lord's heart was in its last moments of life. And he cried. He cried with a voice loud enough that they heard him. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now I want you to notice it says there was 3 hours of darkness over the land. They crucified our Lord at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 12 o'clock, it started to get dark. The sun refused to shine. It got dark, very dark. And when that ninth hour was coming, close to 3 o'clock, right when the darkness was going away, when the darkness was being lifted, our Lord cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I tell you what I think this shows us first and foremost is the darkness of our own hearts, the darkness of the human heart. How dark is the human heart that would take the Lord of glory, take an innocent man, a just man, a sinless man, a man that they tried to turn loose in every possible way and mistreat him, to abuse him, to mock him. Such an innocent, just man. But men, they're in darkness. They're in moral darkness, spiritual darkness, intellectual darkness, emotional darkness. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, men love darkness rather than light. He said, the light shined in the darkness. The light of God. God come down in the person of His Son, and God's light shined right in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend who that light was and what that light was and what that light could do. Men loved their darkness. And they were so dark in their human hearts, so dark in their darkness, that they said, let's listen. There's a murderer here named Barabbas. Said, we want you to let him go and put that innocent man up there on that cross. They traded a murderer and let him go out of jail and crucified an innocent man. Huh? Oh my. And put darkness. Oh, the darkness that was in man's mind. Our Lord told His disciples, first time He mentioned it to them, said, I got to go to Jerusalem. I got to be delivered into the hands of sinful man. I've got to be crucified and I've got to die. Simon Peter said, oh, no, 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 Lord, that cannot possibly be. You can't have that happen. Our Lord said, you get behind me, Satan. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. And they said, he said that they crucified with wicked hands the just one, the just one. Now I want to put emphasis on every one of these words. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Let's look at this word, my God, why hast thou? Why have you? Why have you? You're God. Why have you forsaken me? Why have you done it? I can understand my disciples doing it. I can understand man doing it. I can understand those running and fleeing from me not want to be identified. I understand that. I can grasp that. But you forsake me. Oh, this was that bitter cup that our Lord took with both hands and drank it. And He says, why have you forsaken me? Me, forsaken. Forsaken. To be forsook is an awful, awful thing. To be forsooken. To be forsaken. It's a horrible thing. But mothers forsake their children. Fathers forsake their wives and husbands. Women forsake their children and their husbands. It happens all the time. But for the Son of God, for the eternal, blessed, eternal Son of God, He said, you've forsaken me. Me. Your well-beloved Son. Your eternal beloved one. Your innocent, harmless, afflicted Son. Why have you forsaken me? Me. Why? Why? Let me tell you another thing we see here. And our Lord stayed here as He's deserted on the cross. And this darkness is receding. You know what He does? He still turns to His God. He still turns to His God. He had been left to His enemies. No angel came to help Him. But He still turns to His God. When all of this mistreatment was going on, notice He never uttered a word. No complaints whatsoever from the time they apprehended Him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And all the mistreatment He endured, He never once complained. He uttered words, but not one word of complaint. Not one word of why are you doing me like this? Do you know what you're doing now? He never once said, don't strike those nails in my hands, they hurt too much. He didn't say, please don't hit me another time with that cat of nine tails. Please stop slapping me. Wipe the spit off my face, would you please? Never uttered a complaint. He is led as a lamb to the slaughter, and he opened not his mouth. No complaint how he was treated. He had his Father's love while he was on this earth. He had his Father's will for him all the time. He had his Father's presence. He had his Father's ear. And he had his Father's presence from all eternity and all the time he was on this earth. And now, his presence and power and his love is no longer present. Instead of love, it's God's wrath. Instead of mercy, it's God's justice. And it began to be poured out on him. No wonder he cries, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And here he is, he's deserted. Yet our Lord does not let go of his God. He still cries, my God, my God. That shows you and me that no matter what goes on in our lives, the first place we turn is to my God. Whatever goes on in our hearts and in our lives or in our bodies, my God, my God. But we'll never, ever be able to say, why have you forsaken me? We'll never be able to say that. You see, he still believes God is his God. You're my God. You're my God. But you've forsaken me. And when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, what that means, that's a much, much stronger version. He said, Eli, Eli, my God, my strong one, lama sabachthani, you're my mighty one. My strong one, my mighty one. And he still turns to God. Who else can you turn to when you're in this kind of shape? Who else can do anything for you? But God ain't going to do nothing for him. God ain't going to help him. God ain't going to help him. Have you ever cried on God and God not help you? Have you ever asked him to do something for you? To give you mercy? To give you grace? To uphold you? To give you strength for your day? He always does it. But here our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? And oh, here's something that we, and they sung it today. By our Lord's cry on that cross was, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We see the absolute holiness and justice of God Almighty. You know why Christ's on that cross? Because God's holy. God is just. And wherever he finds sin, he got to deal with it. Got to deal with it. Now I want to say something here now. When you look at this cross, look at our Lord on this cross, let's view it from four different ways. Four different ways. At the cross, we see man. We see man. This man did a work at the cross. Man's depravity, man's sinfulness, man's hatred for God and enmity for God, it's at its greatest display right here at the cross. It's at its greatest display. You think man's, you know, I would love to go in any church in this county, any church, any congregation in this county, and preach the gospel. Tell man just how wicked, how sinful he is. Because nobody knows how sinful they are until they can see Christ on the cross. How sinful, how sinful, how depraved, how wicked, how dark, how mean, how cruel, how hateful are we. Are we, not they, we. That we would cry out, crucify him, crucify him. And when he's crying out, oh God, why have you forsaken me? He's calling for Elijah. Let's see if Elijah comes save him. Oh man did a work. Another person that did a work there was Satan. Satan did a work. Oh, Satan was right there. Satan was right there. He had done been told that this seed of the woman would crush his head, but it also said there that it would bruise his heel. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman. Satan did a work there. He revealed his hatred, his enmity for the woman's seed by bruising his heel. And the Lord Jesus Christ did a work here. He did a work here. He did a work that you and I couldn't possibly do. He is dying, and he did die, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The only way we can get to God is what he did. The only way we can come to God is he has to bring us. Well, how did he bring us? He died. The just for the unjust. That he might bring us to God. In his own body, what is on that tree. He bore our sin right there. Bore our sin right there. And then God himself did a work. God did a work here. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. God put him to an open shame. God said, arise, O sword, and smite my fellow. Smite the shepherd. And I tell you what, God did a work here. And we see just how holy he is. And how just he is. And how his holiness and justice was honored and magnified and glorified there on that cross. Oh my. God, the scripture said, God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Huh? How holy is God? How holy is God? God is so holy that no man can see him and live. Moses said, show me your glory. God said, you can't see me. He said, you can't look at me. God dwells in a light that no man can see. And he said, I'll tell you what you do. He said, I'm just going to show you my back parts. Put him over here in a cleft of the rock, covered him in his hands. You know, the only place that God can view us and we can view God is in the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, that rock that was smitten. Oh, my. And oh, how holy is God? He's so holy that the heavens are not clean in his sight. The angels are not pure. How holy is God? He's so holy that the seraphims cover their faces in his presence. Oh my. How holy is God? When God met Abraham at the tent, you know what Abraham said? He said, oh, hallelujah, the Lord's here. No. He said, Oh God, I'm dust. I'm ashes. I can't be in your presence, and all I know is when I see you, I'm just dust and ashes. That's all I am. Job. He talked all about God and how good he was and how righteous he was and how he was without sin. And he was. God said he is a just man, a perfect man. And God said to him, Job, I got something to say to you now. Listen to me. Job said, oh, listen, I've heard and I've heard and I've heard and I've heard and I've heard. I heard about you all my life. But now my eye sees you. Well, what do you think about yourself, Job? You've seen the Lord. Oh, I tell you, I'm the most miserable. I'm the most wretched. I'm the most black-hearted. I'm the most abominable. Oh, I'm so miserable. I've absolutely loathed myself, abhor myself. And oh God, I can't look at you without seeing how awful I am. Isaiah saw him high, and lifted up. Saw his glory. And when he saw it, oh Lord, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm absolutely undone. And everybody, that fellow right there beside me, this one over here, that one in front of me, the one behind me, they're all just like I am. They're all undone. I'm undone. I'm unclean. Huh? And oh, he's of pure eyes. How holy is God? He's of pure eyes and to behold iniquity. He is so holy, so holy, that when his son, when the Lord, and listen to this, when the Lord laid on him iniquity of us all, when he was chastised for our peace, when he was wounded for our transgressions, when his son had our sin laid upon him, when God made his soul an offering for sin, God couldn't look. Couldn't look. Look with me in Luke and Psalm 22 with me. Let's look at here just a moment at this. Psalm 22. You know, our Lord is so glorious. God is so holy. And every time you see saints in heaven, the cherubims there covering their faces, people are falling at their feet worshiping the Lord. They all get up off their seats and worship the Lord. If they had a crown, they throw it at his feet. And that's what he was. Oh, the angels. He said, I could have called 12 legions of angels. But he never called one. Not the first angel to help him. Not the first. Look what it says here in Psalm 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? Why are you? Of all the times I need help, I need it now. And why don't you hear me, the voids of my roaring, as I'm crying out, roaring here, my God. And oh my God, I cry in the daytime, and you're not hearing me. And I cry in the night season, and I'm not silent. But here's the reason. Here's the reason right here. But thou art holy. Thou art holy. Look what he said in verse 4. Our fathers trusted in you. They did. They trusted and you saved them. You delivered them. You saved them. They cried unto you and you saved them. They trusted in you and they were not confounded. They were not ashamed. But we would not say this whatsoever if it wasn't in the Bible. This is what our master said. But I am a worm. I'm a worm. How could he say that about himself? I'm a worm. A worm. I'm a worm. Jacob, that worm. I'm a worm. I don't mind being called a worm. But for the Lord Jesus Christ to say, I'm a worm. I'm a worm. I'm a worm. Oh, Lord. I'm a worm. And no man. I'm not even a man. A reproach of men and despised of the people. This is what our Lord said about himself. Could you believe that he called himself a worm? That's how so identified he was with us. Yeah. Oh my. I'm a worm and no man. He overthrew the old world with a flood. He rained fire and brimstone down on Sodom and Gomorrah. He sent plague upon plague upon Egypt. And then he drowned them in the Red Sea. That's what God does. When men become so wicked, so sinful. And here on this cross, and here at this cross, as our Lord was there, God wouldn't even look at him. Wouldn't even look at him. Wouldn't do him. God hid his face, hid his presence. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And here we also see this in our Lord Jesus Christ. We see the reason for Gethsemane. Look over here in chapter 26. In chapter 26, here's the reason for Gethsemane. Why did he go to Gethsemane? And you know the Garden of Gethsemane. He said in verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and he saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and listen to this, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. That word heavy means having a great, great weight on him. Sorrowful and a great, great weight on him. Then he saith unto them, my soul, just not me, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Listen to this. Even unto death. My soul is so sorrowful, so pressed down, even unto death. Now you stay here and watch with me. And he went a little further, fell on his face, and he prayed, oh, my Father. Oh, my Father. Now God's hearing him now. Oh, my Father, if it be possible, if it's possible at all, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this cup pass from me. And he goes down in verse 42 and he says it again. Prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done." You see, he's here seeing what's coming. He knows what's coming. He's looking straight at it. And you think, you know, in his manhood, in his humanity, he didn't want to go through this. He sees what's coming. Being in agony, it says in Mark, being in agony, he prayed. My soul was exceeding sorrowful. In Luke, it says there that he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood. He prayed so earnestly, so intently, so powerfully, so earnestly, so agonizingly, that blood come out of his pores and began to drip on the ground. It didn't look like blood. Wasn't something that resembled blood, but it was blood. Blood. I'm a worm, no man. And here in Gethsemane, he faces that cup. He said, "Father, the cup which you've given me." A cup. You know, when we take the cup, a cup represents communion. That's what it represents. We take the communion here and we hand everybody a cup. Everybody gets a cup. It shows us our communion with our Lord Jesus Christ, our oneness with Him. Remembering His death, showing His death. But God gave Him a cup, but it wasn't a cup of communion. It was a cup of the fierceness of the wrath of God Himself. It was full of justice and wrath. It was full of holiness. It was full of sin. My sin, your sin. And for Him to have fellowship with us in any way, He said, "Father, if it's any way in the world possible, if you could let this cup pass from me, where I didn't have to drink it." But you know what He said? "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Nevertheless. And the Scriptures tells us over in Isaiah that He took that cup. And over in Revelation, we'll read about this cup. He took that cup and He drank it. And the Scripture says even the dregs. I'm a drag. You know what an old drag is? People won't drink after one another because they say they leave their saliva or something in the... You know, don't drink after somebody said, "Well, you know, you got back flush in it," or whatever. Listen, our Lord took our sin, God's wrath, God's justice, God's anger, took that cup, turned it up. And I tell you, He didn't take it down, never took it down until it was empty. And he said he took it up to that last dreg. Come out of it. And here, last of all, we see the foundation of our salvation. The blessedness of our salvation. How God could save us. Here we see how God can be just and yet justify us. Here our Lord Jesus Christ. We can't. It's the most glorious thing I've ever heard. Is that our Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken of God. And if he was forsaken of God for me, then God will never, ever forsake me. If he bore my sin, then God couldn't be just and come and charge me with it again. Huh? If he bore the curse of God's law, I'll never have to bear that curse. No. If he satisfied God's justice, well, then I'll never have to face it. Huh? And if he satisfied God, God's holiness and everything up there is about him. If he satisfied God, and God saw the travail of his soul and said, I'm satisfied. How do we know he is satisfied? The third morning, they came to the grave and said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. And now because of this, because of our Lord Jesus Christ taking our place, being our sin offering, being our satisfaction, being our substitute, what a wonderful word. God took him, put him on that cross, and then took all the sins from Adam until the last soul on this earth, and he made them all come as a great army. And he said, my sins are greater than the hairs of my head. And they made them all to meet on his son. And he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And God said, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. You know why? Because Christ bore them all away. Huh? So whenever you look at this, you look and say, that's my whole salvation. That's my hope. That's everything I need. Everything that God required of me, he got it from his son. Every condition that I should have met, Christ met it for me. Everything God required of me, Christ gave it. As he said when they come and got him out of the garden, he said, if you got me, let these go their way. God got him, and we get to go away. Now we are accepted in the Beloved. God made him to be sin. Who for? For us. For us. For us. The gospel, clear, plain, blessed our hearts. Who can stand God's indignation? Who can stand up to His fierce anger? The answer is right here on the cross. Our blessed, blessed, glorious Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God laid help upon one who is mighty. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I don't know what to say except thank you, bless you, praise you. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Thank you. Praise you. Bless you. Prepared by sin. Oh, my awful sin. Thank you. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Thank you. Oh, Lord. When we cry, my God, you hear us. When we pray, oh God, we're never confounded, never confused. Because of our Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, bless these things to our heart. For Christ's sake. Amen. Amen.
You got that song, Easton? Come up here and lead that for us.